far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, it's our BonsaiCon convention review.
Pretty good, but it's one of these cons where bad crap happens.
Oh, that's no good.
Apparently the guy that ran the Gunpla panel had his stuff stolen out of his car, and then my brakes went out when I was leaving Columbia.
Oh.
It's something about cons in my car. They just don't mix.
So what'd you do?
Well, pretty much, like, I got there about noon because I had my gunemology panel at 2. And I just got to look at notes.
Oh, the one that somebody is going to put on YouTube, right?
Yeah, I actually went ahead and tweeted the video yesterday. So it's, as of this recording, it's already up on our Twitter feed, even though I'm the only one that uses it. But so I can talk about the panel. I got there and I got there like a couple hours before my panel started, and I got to walk in on the last bit of like Lisa Ortiz's panel. And then once it was over, like, I was talking to her outside, and I was just like, "Hey, you know, a couple months ago, I was trying to get a hold of you for an interview, and I didn't know if you would have time today." And it worked out that we did get an interview, so I will talk about that in a bit. And pretty much, I just kind of walked around the con. They still had the same setup regarding like having the giant Mudkip, and I think they didn't have the Pikachu this year, or did they? I don't know if they did.
These were those bounce houses things that you took pictures of last year?
Yeah, they're the inflatable ones. They had the Mudkip one, and I think they had the other one. It might have been a Pikachu. I must have been just so unaware of what was like in front of me that I just did not care.
You've already seen it before, so you didn't even notice?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of, like, to make sure you're in the right, hotel room for the con, you just got to look for those things because they're right there, and they're like, "Yeah, this is the right place," along with the other cosplayers that are there.
Were there free cosplayers like they threatened on Facebook?
Oh, no, I didn't see that, and I'm glad I didn't. I didn't notice. I there were furries there, but I didn't see them in a cosplay music video, and I didn't have any right to go. I didn't give me a right to go over there and try to trash it, but they must have done this in a private location away from me, and I think that's the best thing.
But didn't they say where it was, wherever you saw about it?
I just know they talked about it on, like, the Facebook groups. I guess they were going to meet up there. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know, and I don't care to know.
That's a little disturbing that they are so open with the furry yif thing that they're going to post about it on the public Facebook group. Everyone going to the con can see it.
Yeah. There was somebody took a compilation video of like the cosplay judging contest, and they had an actual furry up there, and like for them to receive their award, there was like they were all on all fours, and they put the award paper in his mouth. Like, this was on YouTube, and someone did a compilation of like everyone that won. I was just like, because I'm looking at this, and like, this is last night at school, and I'm just like looking around to make sure no one else is looking at the same thing I am and not asking like 100 questions about it, because I was not in the mood to answer any of that. But no one saw me watch that video, so that's a good thing.
people might think you're a furry if you watch that or something.
I didn't want to ask. Hold on, let me cough. So anyways, like I didn't really like regarding the dealer's room, I only bought like one Gundam related thing. I didn't really have time to basically hang out in the dealer's room like I thought it was. I got a couple of cards and to see what other people offered. One guy that was selling video games, along with my friend, one of the few people that did at Animazement, was at this con. And I got to talk to him for a little bit, and he got more stuff, I noticed. And there was another guy that sold like a ton of video games, and I think he had a couple of imports for the Saturn. I've got his card too, but one of them was we had Dragon Force on the Saturn, and he was wanting like $200 for it. And I'm like, I cannot buy that right now. he's also got this like NES.
Was the Dragon Force an import?
Dragon Force came out domestically on the Saturn in the States. It's one of those working designs games that we got in the States from Working Designs, obviously. And this was a domestic copy, and usually domestic copies sell for a lot in the States. And that's the same for like Panzer Dragoon and like Burning Rangers or any Saturn title really that people sought after.
Yeah, Panzer Dragoon saw it's really expensive.
The guy does have a demo, like an actual like NES demo of DuckTales with like a bunch of unfinished levels, and he had it like in this like glass case.
Huh.
And it just had a label there that was like a demo and like please return back to person or something. It was like a label on the sticker, and he got a hold of it somehow. So whoever has to return it back to, they ain't gonna get it. But I mean, with those demo games, like those are like, you know, so old, no one really cares. So,
yeah, only Peter Network's really into those.
I mean, the thing that I got was these little like chibi mobile suit stand things. It's like the Gundam Converge SP-04 for anyone that might know that. But it's just like these little stand things. You need to put them together, and it was like $12. But I guess whatever I didn't spend at the con was going to be spent on my car the next day, and I'll get to that in a sec.
Yeah.
But anyways, I did my Gundam panel, and I had about, I think, a total of 12 to 15 people there, which is about what I expected. I was expecting a lot less than that, but I think the people that stuck around were like the ones that I think were the hardcore fans, and the people that were like, because it's supposed to be an introduction to like how to get people in the Gundam and just briefly talk about each show, but I think some people got bored with that fact after like halfway through it and kind of got up and left. But I mean, there's nothing I can do to stop them. I mean, I will say that like a lot of people stayed and people leaving, and some people left and came back. And the guy that recorded this, I actually like put a lot of praise to him. So people are going to think the guy who hosted that has the YouTube channel is the one who hosted the panel, and I'm like, my hands are clean.
He doesn't say your name anywhere in it?
No, it's not in the description. I was like, should I get mad at this? And I'm like, no, that kind of saves my bacon in a way. In case, like, VQ watches it, and VQ's going to know who I am anyways. He's going to find everything wrong. But like I'm be like, hey, that wasn't me in there. It was this guy that hosted the video. So I wasn't the one there, according to this. And I guess only our listeners and VQ would know, you know, who I am in the video because of how I talk and everything. So,
VQ
but to
would
everyone
probably
else,
be like,
they don't know who I am.
VQ would probably be like criticizing your recommendations for which Gundam shows to watch and stuff like that.
He says
to watch them all in production order. But what did you say was the right order in your video?
I split it up in different parts. Like, just to give people a taste of it. And like I said, like if you're gonna start out with Universal Century stuff, I said like the compilation movies just to try it out. The compilation movies, 0080 and 0083 and Gundam Unicorn, just to see if you like it. And then it's like, okay, well, and there's also that. But if you want to do the TV series stuff, then there's the Mobile Suit Gundam TV series. There's Zeta and Double Zeta, and then there's Victory Gundam. And then, like, I had, like, a section for the movies where, like, here's all the movies, you know, to add. I didn't recommend Char's Counterattack. That's kind of a hard title to recommend on its own, even though that's, like, one of the few things I saw, like, when Gundam was really popular here. Because that's all we had.
What about F-91? I guess you didn't recommend that one either.
No, I did recommend it. I put... I put G Savior on the list, but I said at your own risk.
It's barely even Gundam, you know?
Yeah, I know, like, when I did the panel, I don't know, like, in the video I sounded pretty awkward, like, I would laugh about stuff, and, like, it only sounded like I was the only one laughing at my own jokes, but people in the front were chuckling, but, like, the person holding the camera in the back couldn't really hear them, so it sounds really awkward when I do it, and I don't know, but there wasn't a full crowd of people in there to laugh at everything I said, which, I don't know. Okay, so maybe half the stuff I said, or most of it, is not that funny, but I was just kind of being honest. But like the people that stuck around were the ones asking me questions, was just like a handful of them.
The rest all probably went to go get Vic's autograph.
Yeah, that was happening during the same time. Both of Vic's autograph lines were like super long. Like there was the one about like 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock. And, like, I brought stuff and wanted to get signed because I figured the 5 o'clock, you know, one, like, everyone's done the earlier one, so there won't be as much people. And this one was, like, up the staircase, the second floor, almost going out to, like, the skywalk to the parking deck or something. And I'm just like, F that. I'm just like, I'll get stuff signed from him, but I'm not – in this particular case, I'm not in a rush to do it. And I think it was the people that, like – they had the one autograph per limit thing, so like they just brought a bunch of stuff and like went through the line again a second time to get more stuff signed. Because I do the same thing.
Was everybody just getting Full Metal Alchemist signed or what?
I don't know what they got signed. I'm pretty sure it was Full Metal Alchemist stuff. Like the only thing I know that I want signed from him is the Megazone 2-3 DVD collection thing with that he did the voice for Shoujo.
Oh.
For Shoujo, yeah. And my brother brought some Full Metal Alchemist stuff with him. I was like, if I had the chance to be in line to wait for it, I was going to get signed.
I've only seen the Robotech version of Megazone 23, the Robotech the movie.
I haven't finished that thing yet.
Oh, have you seen part of it? Or
I've seen part of it, yeah. But I've seen the there's an international dub to the second OVA. Which is, like, on YouTube, and it has, like, Japanese subtitles at the bottom, but it's, like, Robotech voice actors. And instead of calling Shoujo Yahagi, they call him, like, Johnny Winters.
Huh.
And, like, I actually like that dub a lot. And, of course, I'll pick that over the Megazone Vic dub any day, but...
Wait, did Harmony Gold do this?
I think it might have been a production with Harmony Gold to do the second one. But it was, like, an international market when they released it.
Huh.
And I think it just might be on Laserdisc. I don't know, but there's the rip for it still might be up on YouTube. So I advise anyone to check out the international dub for Megazone 2-3 Part 2.
How many parts are there? Three or
there's three, but I kind of if I had a chance to talk to him, I would have been like, so did you ever see the third Megazone OVA? Because apparently that's like the badly abysmal one that. No, like even the hard diehard Megazone fans are like, oh god, they effed that up so bad, and no one should ever talk about it. It's kind of like G Savior. No one wants to talk about the third Megazone OVA.
Is there a Harmony Gold dub of the third one or no?
I think there's just the ADV one. Oh. I don't know. I've got that DVD collection for a couple years, and I just haven't watched all three of them. And I guess we will one day when we review it. So because we'll have to review all three of them eventually. But going back to the Gundam panel, there was a guy that was really – I think the guy recording the video was really happy that I talked about 8th MS Team, and which is kind of sad because I'm like, I think everyone should talk about that OVA. And then when I got to talk about Gundam Seed Destiny, I was just like, well, let me just kind of browse through this real quick. And I was just like, yeah, it's this. All right, we're moving on. I did not stay on it for very long.
How much of it have you seen?
I'll be honest, I think I saw one episode. I didn't remember much of it. And we're moving right along to Gundam 00.
I saw the whole thing. You don't want to see the whole thing. It's really bad.
I don't plan on seeing the whole thing. I think people were like, yeah, it started up pretty good. And then when they made Kira the main character, it just like went terrible. And I'm like, I thought the first episode was terrible. I couldn't stump that.
So did I. I thought it was pretty bad until Kira showed up. I mean, it actually got a little better for a while, but then it got worse again, and it got really bad by the end, because I think there must have been, like, 5 or 6 recap episodes in there.
What, like, in a row?
They weren't all in a row, but they were, like, 5 or 6 within the last, I don't know, half of the show or something. And there were like one or two in a row, I think. But the show has a lot of other issues too. It's just awful. Worse than Seed.
Boy, I'm dreading the day we got to cover that. And I would have to watch the compilation movies for Seed Destiny.
Yeah, I've seen the Seed compilation movies. They're actually, well, I didn't think the Seed compilation movies were that bad, but the Destiny ones probably would be.
Yeah.
I don't think it can be salvaged.
I guess as long as it tells me a better story than Turn A Gundam, then I think I'll be good.
Oh, I doubt it would.
I think at the end, like on the recording, there was people asking me questions. Like one guy asked me, like, what I think the strongest Gundam was, and I said, well, the V2, and then he goes, no, man, it's like the Wing Gundam, and then he brings up the ending to Endless Waltz, and how like, yeah, it took all this damage and crap, and I said, that was plot armor. That's bull crap.
Yeah, Endless Waltz is, I really dislike that movie.
I was just like, oh god, I didn't even mention Endless Waltz, and you know what? I don't care.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of that as a Gundam movie when you were saying which ones you were going to recommend in advance of the.
No, I just said Gundam Wing. I didn't even mention any mention of Endless Waltz, and I said you guys can just Wikipedia the rest of this stuff. Because it's like, are you guys taking notes on this? No, you're probably not. You know what? Just look it up online. Because like everyone was just kind of like staring at me like, oh, are we supposed to take notes? And I'm like, oh, just whatever. I did, however, make people sit in the front. Like, they would spread around. I said, no, come up. Come to the front. Come on. Everyone go. I'm like, no, I'm not going to have any stragglers in the back. And then, like, 10 minutes in, I just saw people in the back, and I'm just like, I don't care.
Was it the people who were about to leave or something?
I think it was, like, people that came in, like, 20 minutes later or something.
Oh.
Yeah. I just kind of had fun with it. And I thought I did a pretty decent job sort of explaining it. At least the Gundam universe. So I'll let the audience of the video be the judge of that. I know when I tweeted it, our only fanboy Corey or Cody Billings like was saying that he would like to do something like that. And so obviously, yeah, I think he saw the whole video. And, oh, he said like if he would like to do something like that, he'd like someone with him, which would have made more sense.
Speaking of Tamino shows, I finished Zabungle. I marathoned it over the weekend. It's a pretty good show. I mean, I think that it's probably better than Double Zeta and not as good as L Game, but I okay. mean, you're gonna have to see the compilation movie for it.
Well, yeah, because I don't have the time to marathon an anime series over the weekend. I've got too much crap to do. Like, tomorrow I've got 3 exams. And I'm studying for them all today, and then I've got some other project stuff I got to turn in tomorrow or something. It's always something.
Do you have midterms or is it like another kind of exam?
Well, we're doing our second exam for the classes.
Oh.
So that's coming up now, and I think there's probably going to be one more at the end. I guess they considered it midterm. I've never heard the term midterm yet.
Yeah, they kind of are moving away from just the traditional midterm and final format. That's a lot of classes thing. Have 3 tests now instead, or more.
Yeah. But yeah, I would be down for us for doing a recording of Arcadia My Youth on Thursday.
Oh, do you have time to stream it? The, what was it, Celebrity Just for Kids, or who dubbed it?
Well, I've got the you want to see the Vengeance of a Space Pirate version? You want
yeah,
me to stream
that,
that? I can do it Thursday or like because I'm probably going to be working late Wednesday night at school.
Hmm.
But I can't think of really anything I'm doing Wednesday except like writing out like a paper due and by next Monday. So there's like that to do over the weekend. But and then like Friday I'm going to go see Ender's Game with my brother. So looking forward to that. Yeah, we can. I like to see the. I would like to see the whole Anime Ego version before I stream the Vengeance of a Space Pirate. I might just come home and watch the Anime Ego version, maybe. I don't know. I just kind of want to break out that DVD and watch it. Because you've already seen the whole movie.
Yeah, I have it on VHS, and I already saw it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just stream the Vengeance part, and then we can compare the two movies, which I'm just going to say it's edited, probably. I know they edited it for time, and then also, yeah. And then also they dubbed it, so I guess I should get back on topic a little bit, but
sure.
But yeah, back to the Gundam panel. I guess for what it's worth, I think I had a pretty good crowd for what was there, and the people that weren't in the Vic line, and the smaller cons are run. Like, I even got to talk to the guy who was like who set up my panel stuff, and I think he's like one of the people that runs the con. I'm pretty sure he does. And he was saying, like, he was talking to me and the guy who did the Gunpla panel, because we're in the same room, and I'll talk about that too. We're basically, he's like, yeah, we're giving the panel to really the stuff that's popular right now, because that's what's bringing in the crowd. So he's doing the smart thing with that. But, and then of course I have my 18 plus panel tonight. He's just like, yeah, dude, you're going to get a pretty good crowd there. And I actually did.
Bigger than your Gundam crowd or no?
A lot bigger than my Gundam crowd. I'd say more than double. So, and then like gradually people came in halfway through. So
this is kind of sad. I mean, Gundam is just, it's really dead in America, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, 10 years ago, if I ran any kind of Gundam panel, it would be packed up, and like what I did would be like the greatest thing anybody ever saw. And then now it's just no one really cares.
Yeah.
It's like I waited way too late to do a Gundam panel, unless I go to like, I mean, this is at a smaller con, so I don't know. But it's funny that, like, you know, I do a Gundam panel and there's a Gunpla panel and they sell Gundam stuff in the dealer's room, but then no one really shows up. Like, there's always Gunpla kits and Gundam models and Gundam merchandise in dealer's rooms at any con that you go to. Like, you go there and you'll never see it. And then we do a panel about it and just no one cares. I guess it just kind of sits there because they're expecting it to sell well. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's a given. It's a given to have Gunpla at any con in the dealer's room. So, people do buy it
at the collector's marketplace here. They have some Gundam models, and they also have Elgame models, which I was kind of surprised by.
Yeah, I do know of Elgame models, though they're like really. I think they're like late '80s or '90s or something.
Yeah, I think it's probably from the '80s, but I'm not sure.
Let me think. So then after that, I pretty much, let me take a look at my notes. I think I just kind of hung out a little bit. I got into the autograph line with Lisa Ortiz, and I had her sign my Gale Force Eternal Story 1, my movie DVD thing. And then, of course, she also signed my Record of Lotus War DVD collection. And her autograph was on the same area as the Masao Moriyama one that I had him sign in Animazement this past year, and I told her about it and she was pretty impressed. And of course, like, I was able to get an interview with that with her there, and I did meet up with a couple people that run the NashiCon, the people that are actually on staff with NashiCon and actually run it, and I got to talk to them a little bit about it, and even they admitted their last con was like that. They admitted that it was pretty bad, or it was not as good as they hoped for. And one of the guys that was on staff, I mentioned, like, what happened when I reviewed the convention. And, like, I mentioned, like, someone said, oh, it's not an anime con. And they go, well, yeah, it is. So even though on con staff, people were like, yeah, it's an anime convention. I don't know why this girl would tell you otherwise.
What did they claim it was?
The con staff made it as an anime convention. It's got Nashi in the title. So I think that person's name was a Tiffins or something, was saying, well, it's not an anime con. It's like, yeah, you're misconceived by everything else that's happening there. But,
yeah. It's pretty bizarre. I mean, what else would it be a con for? I mean, it's obviously an anime con.
Yeah, but it's everything. But people that run it are, I don't know. I mean, the guys I talked to, they were pretty cool. They were really cool about it and everything. There was one girl that was sitting at the table that I actually, the Bubblegum Crisis shirt that I bought a couple months ago, the girl I bought it from was sitting at that table with them. And so I got to talk to her. She goes, wait, that's my shirt. her name is like Fatima, and she frequents the Bubblegum Crisis Facebook group that I made every once in a while. So I'll talk to her that way. And she's really cool. She was pretty cool to talk to. She's a lot shorter than I thought she would, or she's a kind of a short girl, but I didn't know what to expect from the person I bought the shirt from. So, but I thought she was pretty cute. And if she's listening to this, you know my feelings. I hung out with them and talked to them, and I kind of told her the whole ordeal regarding what happened with the drama on the Facebook Bubblegum Crisis account between me and that guy that I will have nameless. And I told her my side of the story, and so I'll just leave it at that. But she got, because she kind of heard about it, and I just kind of told her about it. But again, like, you know, my perspective. There was one thing that apparently there's with these cons, I think there's people around the area that do like cross-dressing cosplay, where like there's a guy that dresses up as girl, like as a girl or something.
Oh, do you remember that guy Hoyven Glaven that used to go to the AIM chats? HG Revolution.
Yeah.
He used to do that, and he posted pictures of it on Toonzone.
Yeah. No, but this person was dressed up as Bayonetta, and the conversation went like this. It was like, we looked at Bayonetta, and because it's like, it seems like for a guy, if a girl looks looks too pretty, you know it's a dude. That's my philosophy. And they're like, no, there's got to be a trick. I said, dude, it's a guy. And they're like, you want to bet? I said, yeah, sure. So they call him over, or they call she over to the table. And they're like, oh, we really like your costume. And he starts talking with them. So clearly he had that feminine voice going with this with this outfit. And so I decided to confirm it because like Vena's costume has that open V-neck area where you can basically get a better view of boobs if they were there. And this is the first and hopefully the last time I ever down-blouse a dude. Because, like, it was open, and I had to make sure, and I happened to just kind of glance over, and he was wearing a padded bra, and I was like, yep, that's a dude. I didn't stare, but I just had to, like, kind of quickly glance over. I just kind of happened to find my eyes gazing in that area, and I was just like, oh, God, this is wrong. Then I just looked, and I was like, okay, it's a dude. I don't need to look anymore. And then they kind of like, yeah, it was like, you know, great costume. And I was like, yeah, it was great. Nice talking to you. And then, so the guy that betted with me was a girl. He raised his hand up, and I slapped it like bro fist. And I was just like, dude, I freaking told you it was a dude.
Did he look over too and also notice?
I don't think they got a better shot than me because, like, he bent. I remember him specifically bending down to talk to them.
Oh.
So I'm sure the guy he was talking to had just as better view as I did. And I was coming at it from the side. But, maybe they didn't even look. I don't blame them. But, I was kind of like, I had to know. And, I just told him, like, man, I hope I never have to downblast the guy ever again. That was so weird. And I didn't even bother, like, looking at the, I didn't look at the crotch area either. I refused to look at that area.
Good idea.
But yeah, I think the guy I'm pretty sure wore like a girdle or something to have a better feminine physique. But no, he was in the cosplay competition. I think in the same video I told you about with the furry, like he was up there getting an award too. So I guess there must have been something for cross-dressing cosplay. I don't know. But I guess at a technical standpoint for the cosplayers and like how they make their costumes, it was really well done. And my personal opinion would be, I think it would be really well done if an actual girl wore it, but hey, whatever. That's what that guy wants to do, and that's his thing. That's all I'll leave it at. But no, that was pretty interesting. There was a group of them at NashiCon. I think he might have been the only one there, as far as I know. There was like a Madoka Magica cosplayers there, and there was one guy that like just wore like a pink wig and a dress and like had like a man beard. So there was that too, but I think it was just like he wasn't taking it serious. You couldn't take it seriously if you did that. He just didn't care, and I think he just did with his girlfriend.
What was he cosplaying as?
Some character from Madoka Magica.
Oh.
They did have Attack on Titan cosplayers, and I've got photos of this. Like they were outside of like the convention center that was apparently going under construction, and it looked kind of ghetto. And this place is already in a bad kind of the neighborhood of Columbia anyways, which I'll kind of explain in a little bit. But I just kind of saw him out there taking photos, and I'm like, you know, if I was out there, that would be like the last place I would want to take a photo. But I kind of got photos of them just like standing against a gate, and they're like taking pictures of each other, and I'm just taking pictures of them because I'm taking photographs of the conventions from like a a civilian standpoint of just like doing all the everyone does like, oh, we got to take pictures of like every cosplayer because that's the only photos you see. You only get noticed at a con if you're a cosplayer dressing up. But like, you know, for me, I like to get like the whole screen of everyone if I can in a shot, like, you know, show that everyone's there instead of just the cosplayers, because not everyone cosplays.
Yeah. Have you ever cosplayed at a con?
I did Percy from Riding Bean at Animazement a couple years ago, and I think one girl got my photo I have not seen on the internet. So, and I grew out an actual Fu Manchu handlebar mustache. Like, my brother's friends were like, dude, you look like a bad rent-a-cop, and I'm like, shut up. I was rocking it. But I would tell people, like, I'm Percy from Riding Bean. They're like, what? I said, no, I'm actually a reject from a Beastie Boys music video. Like, and they thought that was funny, so they got that joke.
I guess Riding Bean is too obscure nowadays.
Yeah, but I was able to pull off Percy. So I could do stuff like that, but I don't know. So anyways, like, I met up with the guy that ran the Gunpla panel, and him and me were like basically I basically hung out with him the whole time. Again, like, we kind of hung out for a while, and I think I went to the dealer's room later and met the guy that had the video game stuff. And the guy that ran the Gunpla panel, again, not a lot of people showed up for that, and he blew through it in like 30 minutes. And he kind of read everything from a PowerPoint. And his thing, that was his first time doing a panel like that. And he's like, I think he knew it was going to turn out bad, but he still wanted to do it. He was committed to it anyways. And, I mean, he had like, he brought his own Gunpla and examples up there. And I the only way I helped was like basically going up on the stage and like pointing the Gunplas out and holding them up and just kind of making a mess of things. So like, cause a couple of them fell over on the table. And, what I did is I got a picture of like these professional cosplayers that were there, and I had the Gundam 00 Riser holding up the photo in its arms on the table of the cosplay photo, and I just like I got snapshots of that too, and I'll post that in the show notes so you guys know what I'm talking about.
You should have done Gunpla porn with Gundam the Origin manga again on stage.
I actually told that guy about it. I said, "Have you come across any kind of like Gunpla, really creepy Gunpla porn?" With like Gundam the Origin book, because I'm the guy doing that. I was just basically dicking up on stage and like playing with the Gunpla and putting him in positions as he was talking. Because really, nothing was really happening. Like nothing was really going on. He was just kind of like discussing things, and I told him I was going to help him, but I didn't want to interrupt him or anything like that. So like I'm on shot, like basically like hogging probably half the screen. I haven't even seen the whole video yet, but. I'm sure it looks pretty bad at me not doing anything. but then, like, after the panel, like, there was, like, one kid that came up there, and he was, like, really super into it, and he wanted to talk to us for a little bit, so he was pretty cool. So there was, like, one fan that he reached out to, let me think. But then, like, we met up with the guy that ran the con, and we were talking about, like, the panels and stuff, so... Yeah, and the guy who runs it, his name's Greg, he's pretty cool. He's actually pretty cool. So then afterwards, what leads us to... me and this guy, his name's TJ, by the way.
Wait, so like, is this the panel where you, the con where you wanted to do the Laserdisc panel but got rejected?
Yeah, I even mentioned that to the guy. He's just like, yeah, no one's going to show. I'm like, because apparently they were supposed to get a smaller room for like people that were like, they knew they weren't going to get a crowd, but like they lost that, so they had to do these giant rooms. And with that, it just didn't, like, you know, there's all this open space and like, you know, three people in there or something, so I don't know. And I think with him, it's just like, yeah, if I did a Laserdisc panel, I think maybe one person might show up if that. But, and he's just like, yeah, that's more of an AWA thing. And I was like, yeah, I don't blame you. But so and then afterwards, the guy put his stuff in his car. Actually, what I did was when I was waiting for him, like the cosplayer that I had, the photo that I set up at the Gunpla panel, there was these like dead or alive cosplayers there. And I got to talk to the girl that was the Kasumi one. And basically when I say talk, it was it was my way of trying to hit on her. And basically I had a photo of it and I was just like, I'm going to go get her to sign it. And I talked, cause I was talking to the guys with Nashicon, and I went over there and talked to her, and I was like, hey, is this you in the picture? And she's like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, do you mind signing it or something? She's like, oh no, probably not a problem. And I kind of talked to her for a little bit, and I showed her the photo of me taking the picture of like the gun I'm holding up her picture and everything. Which I might as well just, like, I got her contact information on because she leaves it out, of course. So I can just email her that photo. But my attempt to hit on her was, And I was just kind of talking about the con with her or whatever. And I said, so what are you doing for dinner? And she's like, oh, I'm doing a cosplay panel thing in like in a little bit. And I said, and she's saying she's got other stuff. I was like, okay, that's fine. I just thought I'd ask. So that was my attempt.
Oh.
My piss poor attempt to hit on a cosplayer. But like, I was just thinking, like, she says she wasn't local. She's like from the Midwest and they travel a lot. And she's apparently really good friends with Yaya Han. And I don't know. It's a long distance relationship. I can't do that. I don't know how that would work. It just wouldn't be right. It wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. If she's from like several states away, yeah, that's quite a ways.
Yeah, she's from the Midwest. I'm from the South. It just wouldn't mix.
Did you say AWA does have a LaserDisc room or something?
If I could probably do it and get it approved. Because that's like they'll eat that up. Because I know like Dave Merrill from the Less Anime blog, and he actually like is the one that started AWA. He does panels on like collecting crap from like the 80s and like basically doing a panel for old people to show up, for old otaku to talk about things from the 80s and their fandom and things like that. So like if they can have a panel like that, I'm sure I can do a LaserDisc panel and people would like I'll probably get like maybe a decent crowd or something.
I wonder if Steve has been to that panel.
If he's been to Atlanta.
Or, I guess it is kind of far from Utah.
Yeah. I don't know. The thing is, it's like if we both stay in the anime fandom for another 20 years, that's going to be us.
Yeah.
Bald and angry, wanting to have our houses TP'd. But that's beside the point.
People are going to be doing panels like explaining the ancient history when Toonami was on the air.
Oh, gosh. And like a bunch of kids are like, what? Like, whoa, anime was on TV? That's so old.
They would be like daft. Why do you watch live TV with the commercials? How can you
stand
that? Dude,
it's not
that?
Even like in 12,000 in PIDD format. No one's going to watch it. No one cares.
No one watches TV like that anymore.
Oh, man. That's going to be a sad day. Sad day. So anyways, our adventure continues regarding us getting something to eat, which there was this really nice noodle shop like a couple blocks from the convention, and me and TJ were we're basically just talking and like, you know, chilling on the way there, and like, I asked him like what his first gunpla was and everything, and we wound up going the wrong way because we're following his GPS, and like we went like the opposite way because we realized that there wasn't any like convention staff around us anywhere, but it was like a couple of homeless people, and I'm like, okay, this is the wrong way. And then we figured out exactly what road it was. And so on the way there, we're walking by this parking garage. And there was like the angriest black dude and his parking deck just cussing up a storm. Like this guy was livid and like raising hell. And like he was yelling at the top of his lungs, which basically, because of the structure of the parking deck, you can hear him from half a block away, his whole conversation. And the thing was like, motherfucker, you ain't gonna kill me. You ain't gonna kill my family. I'll kill you first. So I don't know who he was talking to, but he was like raising hell. And it sounded like a drug deal went bad or something. Yeah, like you could hear it. You could hear everything he was saying. So I don't know if like the bill collector was calling him or like something went bad. And I'm talking, and TJ was like, dude, we got to go over there and hear this conversation. I'm like, no, dude, I don't want a bunch of gangsters coming up and like in the middle of a shootout or a drive-by or something. We got to go now.
Why would they want to approach this guy?
I didn't want to approach this guy. I don't know. Like, but like you could hear all this crap he was talking about, and it was just hilarious. Like that's just kind of like, yeah, that's one of the highlights for this con was being one of the ghetto parts of Colombia. Nah, dude. Oh man, it was like, man, how dare you talk shit to me about me like that? You ain't touching my family, I'll kill you first.
I don't think a debt collector would threaten his family, though, would they?
That's why I think it was like a drug deal that went bad or something. I don't know, because people were. I think like maybe like we were the only ones there at the time, and I think people were walking up that way. So. And I was joking with him, like, dude, watch if we go by there like an hour later after getting our food and he's still like on a roll.
So this,
which he probably was, but we took a different way.
Is this con on like gang turf in South Carolina or something?
Yeah, there's,
or?
There's no like it's the hotel's kind of in a rough area, sort of, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But it's it's kind of like the place we went to get food was like in this really nice area. It's like there's blips. It's like, cause it's College Town. It's where University of South Carolina is located. And it's like, you know, maybe like a mile or so from the campus where we're at, or a mile and a half or something. And, I mean, cause there's like different, like you drive through different parts and sometimes it's kind of sort of ghetto, and others it's like a really nice strip. Like well, I know when we went last year for NashiCon, not this past one, but the other one, when like me and my brother and his friend were trying to find the Mellow Mushroom, we went the wrong way. And there was like all these abandoned houses, like behind these like really nice restaurants. And like, it's like half ghetto, half trying to be look really nice as possible. So I don't know what's up with the city development on that, but I think after a certain time, like any kind of part of the town becomes ghetto and just kind of like really sketchy. Cause that was the same in Raleigh too. So, I mean, like during the day it'll look really nice, but then at night it's just like you don't want to be there.
No, I mean, what time was he screaming at?
It was like 7 o'clock or something, 7:30 when he was doing this.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
About 8. I don't know. It wasn't like midnight or something. Oh, God forbid we'd be out there at midnight. So, anyways, we go to this really nice noodle place, which is basically like the majority of like the con people went to. And I got to see Lisa Ortiz sitting down with some of the con staff there, and I got to talk to her a little bit there also. I need to mention the interview. It was actually after the my Gunpla panel that – or not my Gunpla, but the Gundam panel I did. After her autograph session or line, we got to meet up at this tall – like we got to the second story, like where the near the skywalk from the parking deck to the hotel at. And I had one of the con staff guys kind of hold the camera. And he was the guy that I remember last year that wore like – he was really skinny and wore like a small mini skirt dress or something when he was with Tiffany Grant. And he was wearing the same thing again but like striped socks or whatever. And he had his – I remember him having a boyfriend with him. So it didn't surprise me if he was gay. But I mean really he was actually a really nice guy. Which – but my first thought meeting this guy was like, oh man, CG has to meet him.
But he already has a boyfriend.
Yeah, he's already got a boyfriend, so it wouldn't do CG any good. So I don't know. But like he apparently was like holding the camera and he told me this after the recording of like 10 minutes. He's like, yeah, I got really shaky hands, and in the video, like it would be a still shot and the camera start like no. So I'm like, alright. But actually what Lisa Ortiz did was she gave me her email address, her personal one, so that I can email her, and she told me to email her in case the interview didn't come out well, so if anything, I'll turn it into an audio recording if I can, which is kind of what I did with the Tiffany Grant one last year. And I don't know how it's going to sound because there's a lot of background noise. And it's kind of hard to hear us from what I watched of it. So I might as well just send her an email and be like, hey, when do you want to do an interview?
Are you going to put it on YouTube or what?
I don't know. It's really hard to understand what we're saying, at least from what I heard. If I can try to fiddle with it in Audacity, at least with the audio... I don't know what much I can do with it, but I'll try. And I'm not sure when that's going to come out. So, no, I mean the interview went pretty good. Like, really, she told me how she started out. Where she had a friend that worked with someone for Central Park Media, and they were looking for voice actors or acting people to do Rick and Lotus War. So Rick and Lotus War was actually her first title that she did as D-Lit. And we kind of talked about that for a little bit too. So. And she told me basically how she got the position offered to her, because apparently she was riding around with her brother, and her brothers and them were like really big anime fans. So she kind of already knew about the show, and they had like, you know, third generation like bootleg tapes of the anime series they got at conventions. So that's kind of how she first saw it. And she said like her car was like, you know, was, you know, in the shop or broken down. So she had to ride with her brother somewhere, and they had a bunch of friends that she wasn't too fond of or something. And she basically got the guy, one of her brother's friends was mentioned that he was working for Central Park Media. And that's how we're like, yeah, they're looking for actors. I know you do theater. So like, you know, you can probably give that a shot. So that's that's basically how her startup happened, which was, I thought was pretty interesting. And of course, I asked her, like, she was Tony Chopper in the Four Kids One Piece dub. And I asked her a little bit about that. But she said that Four Kids treated her really nicely. I didn't know if it was, like, one company was really bad to work for compared to the other. But she said that they were all really great, so.
Yeah, I'm sure that the Four Kids voice actors are paid well and everything. It's just that they kind of ruined most of the anime that they did.
Yeah, she was aware of like the fan base regarding them being upset with the edits and stuff. So like she knows about that, and she's like, "Yeah, that wasn't really right." And like she didn't take up her piece for doing the Funimation one because she's like, "Yeah, the people that do the." My cat muted the freaking mic when she jumped on my lap.
Oh, is that what happened?
She hit a key or something and like muted the mic, and I was just like, I could hear like, "Oh, I lost the call with Zionic. I better call him back." And I'm like, "Crap, get out of my food!"
Oh.
And pest. Oh, it's cat cast again with my little cat. No, she jumped on my lap, and I guess she hit a key to mute the mic in here. And I was just like trying to get to it in time, and he lost the call. And I was like, "Well, he's gonna call me back anyways."
Yeah. It wouldn't be a podcast episode if we didn't have some sort of problem like this.
No, it's a given, obviously. But no, her thing was like when she was doing the voice acting role to Record of Lotus War, she was mentioning, "Why you gotta jump on my lap like this?" How she was mentioning like her brother and them were like, "You better do the role right because we love this anime series so much and you can't mess it up and everything." So they put like these high expectations on her to do this right. And so apparently they thought they watched and they're like, "Okay, I think you did a pretty good job. We approve of it," as probably the only fans of Record of Lotus War or diehard fans at the time, which I kind of thought was pretty funny.
Didn't Lotus War air on Sci-Fi Channel?
Yeah, they aired it on Sci-Fi Channel back in like the late 90s, I think, from what I've heard. And I wasn't there to watch it. And Stop eating!
I never saw it either, but it's supposed to be a classic, I think.
I told her when I first saw it how, like, because that's when Lord of the Rings came out, or like becoming big, and I saw Lotus War, and I was just like, "Wait, why is Lord of the Rings popping?" And she's like, "I know, right?" So apparently, her and me have a common ground where we don't like Lord of the Rings that much. And I think that's fantastic.
There's a new Hobbit out this month, I think, or next month.
I don't care to see it.
You saw the first one, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw the first one, and like I didn't know it was going to be a 3-part epic mega series.
Yeah, a 10-hour adaptation of one book.
It's like a 10-hour adaptation of off of one freaking book. Like, you can read the book quicker than probably watching all three of the movies together.
You probably can, yeah. I've heard that they like dug all this material out of the appendix and everything and included it, and they're just really stretching for content.
Yeah. I mean, you already heard, like, when we first did our first episode on this and how like, I was like, really? They didn't get anywhere in, like, 2 hours, 2.5 hours of this movie. I was like, I am done.
I fell asleep at one point during it, the point when they were captured by some trolls, I think.
Yeah, that was little over half the movie there, and he had the one troll with, like, the giant tumor cancer. Like, I don't know, however they designed it, but you fell asleep through it. I don't blame you. That was the part of the movie my butt started hurting really bad from not moving around because it was so boring.
Yeah, and it's 3 hours long, yeah.
Yeah, so I think anybody listening to this is going to be pissed if they're Hobbit fans. I'm sorry, but that's where we stand.
I mean, it does have great special effects and stuff. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so Liz Ortiz interview, I thought it went pretty well, even though we'll probably re-record it, and that'll come up in due time. I would just have to listen to it and see what I can get out of it, but I feel better if we just re-record the thing. And she gave me her contact information, so I'll just tell her that. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it should be happening sometime. Oh, so anyways, so we're at the noodle shop. Going back to that, I know, like, this, I have to. So anyone listening to this, we do jump around on the podcast a lot and not really staying with a strict storyline. So you just got to keep up with the pace. So like me and TJ were at the noodle shop, and we waited a while for our food because there was a huge crowd there. And that's like when we saw Lisa there and, kind of met up and just kind of talked to her for a couple minutes. And there's a bunch of these other kids that were like there, and because they didn't know there was a convention going on. And they were asking us a bunch of questions on the street about it. And they went in there, like, I think because their parents were in there. And, like, they were asking the people from the staff and even Lisa Ortiz, like, regarding the convention and everything. So I thought that was really cool. And because they were, like, super hyped about it and everything because they didn't even know about it. And, of course, like, me and TJ got our food and we went back to the hotel that way, and we met up with a crowd and we kind of hung out with them on the way there. Yeah. So anyways, pretty much we were in the lobby, eating our food. And we're just kind of talking about the newest anime series, season and everything. And that's kind of we also had the South Carolina, Missouri football game was going on. So I was kind of halfway paying attention to him and watching that because I wanted the Gamecocks to lose so bad because I hate them. Even though that part of the city is Gamecock territory. We were in the noodle shop, and they had the game on, and Missouri scored a touchdown. I was like, all right, Missouri. And this one middle-aged guy looked at me, and he was so pissed off of what I said. And he just gave me this ice glare. And then he looked around after a few seconds, and I'm like, yep, I'm in the wrong area. You don't really do that in Gamecock territory, is bash the Gamecocks, but I don't care.
Was he the only one, or was everybody doing that?
He was the only one that responded with that remark, so clearly he was a fan.
Yeah.
But no, afterwards, that's when TJ went and took off and everything. And actually, this is kind of when crap goes wrong at a convention, was I went up there to get my stuff out of the car. And I was, because I had stuff I gave away at the panel that I did, the what the heck moments. And as I was coming back to the convention, or through the parking garage, he drove up, and that's when he told me that someone got into his car and jacked his stuff. Someone broke into his car, took his laptop, his pad, and his box of Gunpla that he had, and apparently locked his car back together. And he was dude, I felt really bad for him. So he had to go talk to the convention staff. This is what I mean. This is kind of in a bad area, which, yeah. I was kind of concerned about my car a little bit. But then again, I'm I have my car organized in a way where I put trash everywhere. So people are going to look at it and be oh, this guy has nothing. When there's a $500 GPS underneath the seat that they don't know about.
Oh.
And I've got $100 worth of art supplies in the back seat, which is just covered by a jacket and some other things. So that's my strategy for camouflage, is make my car look unappealing, which his car was really nice and clean, which is what I need to do. But when you do that, your car is an appeal for people trying to break into your car. And I think the way they probably got in, because this is a way I was told when I worked at this parking job I do when I lived in Raleigh, was it's actually a trick to get into cars that have electric locks, which I think the guys, Mitsubishi Eclipse had this, which is you can get a tennis ball and carve out a small hole. And what you do is you put that against the lock or the key lock of the car, and you basically push air into it. And there's enough air pressure out of that to basically trigger the sensor and the alarm to unlock the car. So either I'm pretty sure there was some sort of technology that these guys had to break into certain cars or that model that they can get in and take stuff, which, it sucks for this guy. I was just like, oh man, I mean, there's nothing I could really do, but he went and told the con staff about it, or the hotel lobby about it. And he did file a report with the police, which he gave me, and he actually sent me an email about it today. He basically said the way I took it was, let me pull up what he wrote me.
Did he get his stuff back?
He got half of it back, apparently. He said that the Marriott found his box of models by one of the dumpsters in the parking garage, and then apparently he found his Nexus tablet, but he's still looking for his laptop, and their police are trying to help him with that.
They threw the models away?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm thinking what happened, someone jacked in behind the dumpster. It's like, oh man, what's in this box? And they're like, man, what's this? I can't do nothing with toys. And they just walked away from it.
That's great.
I mean, you can't take Gunpla to a shop and they won't take it in. They're like, what could they get? I mean, you can't get nothing for that compared to an electronic device.
Yeah, so. I mean, these guys are going to be selling this stuff on the black market in the hood or something. You know, they're not going to be having much of a market for a Gundam model.
Yeah. If no one can show up for a Gunpla panel, that's when you clearly can tell Gundam is in decline majorly. When people steal Gundam kits and realize that there's no worth in it, and they leave it by the dumpster. I don't mean to laugh at TJ's. I mean, I'm kind of laughing at the situation behind it, because it's funny. I mean, it's good for him that he got his Gundam plug back that way.
Yeah.
But, you know,
saved by the worthlessness of Gunpla.
Yeah, he got, I mean, so he got, you know, he got the bulk of his stuff back. He said that, like, apparently his Age Master Grade was, apparently one of the hands was missing on that, and, like, a foot or a skirt piece, and, there's a piece of, like, the, he had, like, an Ares toy that was missing. But other than that, I don't know. I think that he's still trying to get with the Columbia Police Department to get the rest of his stuff back, so.
Did they have a suspect?
He didn't say anything about that. They just know that he's got that stuff back. So I guess they're still looking for it. And I don't know about, regarding, I guess with laptops, it's easier to find than, like, cell phones or something. Because, like, if they pawn it, then, you know, I guess the people at the pawn shop or whatever can figure out if they've got, like, a report out on it. Or I don't know how they do it, but I'm hoping that he gets his stuff back. So, I mean, it sucks that he does his Gunpla panel. And, like, you know, I mean, I feel for the guy. I really feel for the guy on this. You know, he does a panel on Gunpla, and, like, you know, it's wasn't the turnout that he expected. And, like, you know, I thought he had a pretty good – hopefully he had a good time with me. Would you stop, cat? Gosh. Turd. And
what did he do now?
Oh, she was attacking my hand because I was like, she thinks I'm playing with her. She's just looking at it. But no, like, he goes, you know, it's kind of sucks. You go to a panel, you know, go to a con and do a panel, and, like, you know, it doesn't turn out the way you want to. And he wasn't there that long. I guess he was just there to do the panel. And then, of course, you get your stuff jacked or, you know, stolen. And, you know, that doesn't leave a really good impression of wanting to come back the next year unless they move the convention somewhere else. So, I mean, I couldn't blame TJ if he didn't want to come back. And again, you know, stuff like that happens. I know at Animazement, I think one of the dealers there, it was like, Holy Cow Anime was like a dealer that goes around, like, you know, the Midwest and the East Coast. Apparently, like, at the convention, I remember on the Facebook page, like, somebody stole all their money that they made over the weekend. And so, I don't know if they ever got it back, but, I mean, that, like, stuff like this happens, and I was a bit concerned, but I think my car doesn't have electric locks. There's nothing electric in my car. Except for the radio itself, so, like, I think I was in the clear there.
your state, it just sounds so totally crime-ridden. I mean, between the people screaming about drug deals gone bad and killing each other and everything getting stolen and...
I think it's just, it's that part of the town, yeah. They're probably going to have to move it somewhere else. That's my recommendation, if you want my honest opinion, for any, if the staff are listening to this... Please move the con to a safer location next year. I don't know. I guess we'll find out regarding what they do with that.
Are you gonna go back next year if it's in the same place?
I probably would, except I would probably drive a tank there, and I don't think anyone's gonna break into that damn thing. So. Just, like, drive a tank, pull it up to the freaking front of the hotel, and just leave it there. And it's like, you want to try towing it? Go ahead. At least I know my stuff won't get stolen. Oh, dude. Speaking of cars. Well, actually, no. I'll get to that in a sec. I'll get to my car, and then I'll get to car talk in a little bit. So then, like, I basically, after this happened, like, you know, I talked to him at the garage, and I said, you know, hey, man, you know, good luck to you on that. I went and got set up for my panel for the 18 plus thing, and I had, like I said, I got a really good turnout there. I had, like, a couple of these guys in the front row just, like, busted out laughing at everything I showed, and I can tell they had a great time with it. There was one girl, like, on the corner with them in the same row that she just, like, she laughed and her face just, like, puckered up to this red ball or whatever because she was laughing so hard. So people had a lot of fun with this panel, and
which series did you show for it?
I will actually put up the list for this. It was I showed. I gotta think. I don't have the paper in front of me, but, like, the stuff I showed was. Let me think. I showed the Dominion. I showed Dominion Tank Police. That was a good starter to get people laughing at it. I actually did show stuff that I found at Anime Hell, at Animazement. There was these skits called Dog Snack, which is done by, like, the Titmouse Animation Company, and I guess this other animation company. And I showed a couple of clips of that, and those are some really good stuff because, like, everyone just, like, lost it at Anime Hell with that. So, like, I showed a few clips of that, and people had fun with it. I think next year I'm just gonna turn my panel into anime hell, I guess. So it's eventually leading to that area. But of course, the purpose of anime hell is showing everything, anything but Japanese animation. And I sort of bucked the trend with it because I showed a fight scene from a movie called Ninja 3: The Domination, which I only heard about the title because Daryl Surratt's Anime's Craziest Deaths had that. He had that listed on his website. And I was just like, oh, because he showed, because when he did the review for Otakon, he mentioned that he showed like live action stuff and people like walked out. And I had a few people walk, a couple people walk out on my panel, but it was like halfway through. But I think there was a rave going on at the same time. So I think those people were specifically went to that or to get ready for it. I don't know. I don't know if anybody really got offended, but like I even told them, I was like, okay, you know, to buck the trend of showing anime, I've got to show this one live action movie. And oh no, so anyways, with the Ninja 3 clip, it was like there's a scene in the movie where the ninja gets stabbed, but he winds up doing a circle and drilling himself down to hell or something, and people just lost it at that scene. So I was like, okay, I did a good thing showing this. And then I did one in the same movie where like there was a scene where like there's an arcade cabinet that comes to life, and I compared it to, like, you know, what if the Kinect technology was made in 1984? I would just have to show like certain. I would just have to show like a clip or video of it or something in the post or something so people can see it, or I could just post up the entire video of the panel and let people watch it on YouTube.
Oh, there's a video of this one as well as the Gundam one.
Do what?
You've got a video of this panel as well as the Gundam one?
The guy who did the Gundam panel was this other guy that did it. And if I post up my panel thing, it's going to be on my own channel. So I just have to eventually get around to doing it. Another thing that I showed was Space Runaway Edeon, which I showed this specific clip in about the kid getting decapitated.
Of course, yeah.
No, I basically said, like, yeah, this is kind of like my personal preference as to why I don't think child soldiers should be in wars or anything. And, like, I think half the crowd, like, didn't know what happened because the other half saw it and they were like, oh! They had fun with that. And, like, the other stuff I showed was Violence Jack, Angel Cop, Wicked City, of course.
How did people react to Violence Jack?
I think they liked it pretty well. So I showed the one clip of the in the first OVA where I don't know if you saw a dub, but it was the guy that was just like, where the hell is Jack? Damn it, chicken shit. And he has like Tourette's syndrome or something.
Yeah, I've seen the dub.
Yeah. I showed that clip, and then I showed the one in the Hell's Wind one where like he basically, Jack confronts the biker gang. And he got the one guy that he puts the grenade in his lap, and he does a kamikaze drive like right against him, and they think that kills him.
Did you show anything from Madball?
I did. I showed. Yeah, Madball was another one I showed. It was the one where Sleepy guns the grocery store robbers with the hockey mask and the roller skates, and then of course the pube grenade clip.
Yeah, I was wondering about that one.
Oh yeah, that's one. That's like one of the best ones.
Yeah.
No, that panel went pretty well. They gave me. I think that what they did is I had like 2.5 hours, and I was supposed to get 3 for like free. For like to get the whole free thing because if you do like 3 hours worth of panels or 3 hours worth of panel time, they'll give you like a free admission that way. And so I had like 2.5, and I think they just rounded up the my hour and a half one to 2, because then I had just like a half an hour to kill, and I was just out there talking with people, or I had people come talk to me. And one guy I gave the whole video to, so he can watch it on his own leisure. I said, yeah, you know, there's some clips in there you can check out, so you know what to watch. I did talk to this other girl that was sitting with Lisa Ortiz in the restaurant, and her and me were chatting too. So it went pretty well. And of course, I didn't leave the con till like 12, and I had to be at church at 9:30 in the morning because I had to help out with a kids ministry doing the sound. But anyways. This gets into car talk or car trouble talk. And actually, before I get into that, you remember the car I told you about with the anime girls that I saw at it at Animazement?
Yeah.
That guy was there this year, and I got a bunch of pictures of his car in the garage.
Did he add any more to it, or is it look the same as before?
It was the same as before. So He basically took a blue Miata and added Vocaloid decals on it, and like had people-sized Vocaloid people on it. And because I got a better view of it, and I even got a better view of the girl that had like her had that face sticking out the passenger side window that I thought was looked like she was getting raped, but she's actually smiling.
Oh.
But it's still pretty creepy. But someone left a note on his car saying how they thought their car was awesome. And I took a picture of that too. So this is all show notes material.
Didn't you say they looked like they wanted to be let out or something? You know, like the way they are.
Because when I saw the car on the side of the street in Raleigh, I was just like, "Holy crap, that is super creepy."
Yeah.
And then I look at it closer, and I'm like, "It's still creepy, but at least it looks like she's enjoying herself." That's still wrong, regardless. Oh, but I'll let you take a guess of what the guy's license plate is.
What's the name of that Vocaloid? Hatsune Miku. I don't know, like Hatsune or something.
Very close.
What was it?
Miku.
Oh, I got the
guy's license plate is Miku.
I was close.
I got a picture of that too, so. And, no, it was funny because I was driving out and, like, I bought a cigar to smoke there, but I decided to smoke it on the way home in my car, which wound up being a bad idea regardless, because, like, I always had the cigar in my mouth and I saw the car and I was just like, oh, crap. So I stopped it, parked in like, a parking spot. And so I'm out there holding the cigar and, like, my, you know, nice DSLR camera and, like, taking snapshots of this thing. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. And no one was there to bask in the glory of me smoking and taking photographs. But that was my little moment of glory. And so this is when car trouble happened because my brakes had been going out for a while because I've heard the squeaky noise. But I figured I had enough time before I had to change it. And I was pulling up to a red light and then I realized my car made a grinding noise when I was hitting the brakes. Which that is never a good sign. And then of course while this is happening, I'm trying to navigate my GPS because my GPS wasn't working right and wanted to show me a tutorial on how to drive on the road to a highlighted route to get home instead of just actually following the satellite thing. So I had to pull over like three different times to try to get the freaking thing working, and this was like 12:30 at night. And so I was worried about my brakes going out and my car flipping over or something. And anyways, I finally got home in one piece. And I halfway through my cigar, I got this nicotine buzz thing. So like I was feeling really lightheaded and kind of tired, and I was just like, "This is not good for my health." So like I'm driving down the interstate, and I'm just kind of like looking around for any state troopers. And I just chug the thing out of there, and I'm like, "Okay, nothing happened." And I was still kind of like in this weird trance. I can only assume that a nicotine buzz is different than like a pot buzz. So. But I was still like in this, like, I was like trying to stay focused and I was still like wanting to doze off at the same time. And I'm like, oh God, this is not good.
I think smoking is the one thing you can do while driving.
I was trying to do it, but like apparently like the cigar was kind of falling apart because like if it's not supposed to take like a whole ton of wind against it when you're riding because like it started breaking up gradually and I'm just like, man, this thing's falling apart. And I spent $9 on a good quality cigar and I'm worried about my brakes and like my heart's racing because of the nicotine buzz. And I'm feeling lightheaded. I'm just like, I can't smoke. I can't do this. And I'm just like, I think I learned my lesson. I just like chug it out the window. And I didn't get caught. Thank God. It would have just made the evening even better. But Sunday I had to go take my car over to a buddy to a mechanic shop. And my brother is friends with the guy that his dad runs his mechanic shop. So I took my car over there and he was able to change out my brake pads for me. And I did my spark plugs when I was there. So I just kind of had like a little hangout, do car stuff there for a couple hours. And apparently with my Chevy Cavalier, it's like it has to take a certain measurement or like a specific like a tool that like change out parts on it, which was so aggravating. Because the guy, when he took off my brake pad things, like there's a certain screw that has to hold the actual clamp together. He had to rethread the whole thing, like rethread this one screw on it. And I remember him telling me, like, dude, when you sell this car, whoever you're selling it to, tell them you don't know anything about it because it's such a mess and such a hassle to try to get like everything fixed on this thing. Because he had to find a specific socket wrench to like get my spark plugs out. I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. It's gotta be, it's like, why Chevy? Why they had to make it this hard? But so yeah, that was Banzai Con for me regarding my car's brakes still technically working on the way home. I didn't get in an accident. The guy I was hanging out with, he's gradually getting his stuff back, so I hope him the best on that. Again, cons are very interesting whenever I go to one. There's never, I think if a con was boring, it just would not be good. And like NashiCon stuff, like some stuff happened, but it was never on the extent of this level. So I guess that's just my luck. But I did happen to see Vic off, like kind of with this, like off in the distance, we're going to the con ops table when I was eating. And that was like the only time I really saw him. And I took pictures of him with the people in the autograph line because I wanted shots of that. And that's about it. I mean, I never got close enough to actually talk to the guy. And I don't know. Maybe I will one day. Who knows?
You've seen him before, right? At other cons?
Yeah, I saw him last year at Banzai Con. So, and there's always like a crowd of people around him, and like, you know, two or three different kinds of con staff people just like huddled close to him or something. So,
yeah, that guy's always going to cons. So I'm sure you'll see him again.
Yeah, that's true. Well, not Animazement.
Yeah.
Well, I know Ichiban Con is like the next one that's coming up, but I don't know if I go to it or not. I might. But that one's in Charlotte, so that's not too far of a drive for me and my brother. And we're not going to tell anyone about it, so.
When's that one?
It's like the first weekend of January. So, like, I'll still be on Christmas break. So my brother and I could totally do that. Mm-hmm. If we wanted to, so. So yeah, that's Banzai Con. I don't think I'm missing anything really. I think I kind of covered everything that kind of happened to me.
Did you get anything there?
Well, I got the those little Gundam figures from the dealer's room, and that was about it. Yeah, I think that was pretty much my whole con experience there, summed up in one day. And I wish I kind of spent more time in the dealer's room, but I didn't really see a lot of things that grabbed my attention. I mean, I would have probably bought some video game stuff, but I just didn't have time to sit there and look because I had to meet up with other people and everything. So, like, I was kind of busy doing all that. So, but I don't know if I do plan on going next year, I guess. And hopefully they'll put it in a safer location.
Yeah.
Away from the carjackings and bad drug deals.
Is there some better part of town that they could put it in, or another city they should move it to, or what?
Well, they've got the because NashiCon they do their convention at the actual convention center, and that's actually in a pretty good part. It's and regarding for food, like all you got to do is walk up like a block and like you know like a block or two, and there's like the Mellow Mushroom and like some other like Italian places. So that's in a good spot. So hopefully next year, I think they'll. They can do that. I guess then again, maybe it just works out better if they're at the Marriott for the time being. Stop playing with my cord. Stop, cat. But, yeah, that was Banzai Con for me. And hopefully anyone who hear this, because I'm definitely going to post this on the Facebook group, and hopefully you guys had a fun time. Hopefully none of your stuff got stolen or your car didn't break down or something like that. So, That'll be my coverage of the convention.
Okay. And
yeah, I think we're done.
For my closing remark, I'll quote, "Love that Goku." Sorry, I've not been doing a lot of tweets last month. I watched a very poorly edited Dragon Ball Z AMV, and I hammer-fisted my laptop to shit. And so that's why he hasn't been tweeting lately.
I figured he would be tweeting off his phone or something.
Yeah, I think he probably does these days since his laptop got destroyed.
Yeah. You can pretty much get any kind of phone now that has like a Twitter thing or an app in it, so you can always use that.
Yeah, I have Twitter on my iPhone.
I don't know what to say for... I guess my closing remark is don't down-blouse cross-dressing cosplayers. If you know the guy is a dude, then you don't have, I don't know. If they leave it open, you're going to look. But I mean, don't try to make an attention to do it. I don't know. That's just a bad closing remark. I got nothing really constructive to say.
Maybe I should just end it.
Just end it. Bye. Nigga stole my bike. Nigga stole my bike. Nigga stole my bike. Nigga stole. Nigga stole. Stole my bike. Bye, bye, bye. Nigga stole my bike. Bye, bye, bye. Nigga stole my bike. Bye, bye. Nigga stole my bike. Nigga stole my bike. Nigga stole my bike. Nigga stole my bike. Nigga stole. Nigga stole. Stole my bike. Bye, bye, bye. Nigga stole my bike. Bye. Nigga stole my bike, bike. Nigga stole my bike. Nigga stole. Holy crap. My cat got in like this little tiny shelf on my old PC and she's like walking inside of it. Hold on. God damn it. Stupid animal. Let me put the mic down.
Please hold.
Alright, I'm back.
Did the cat leave?
No, she's just on my. She's just sitting on my bed.
Oh.
She, like, I have my PC. I have my old Dell PC tower, like, in this weird corner. And she somehow found her way to climb up on there and, like, walk inside of it. And there's still computer parts in it. So I had to drag her out of that. Freaking animal.